Good morning. Good morning, everybody. This is joint work with Robert Solé and Robert Grimm. One of the largest success stories of academic peer-to-peer research have been content distribution networks, and you're probably familiar with systems like Coral, Codeine, and Cobweb, which share the same basic idea where a bunch of replicas that are spread across the internet replicate static content from origin servers, and then clients get redirected to nearby replicas so they can save both latency and bandwidth across the internet. I also talked about Nakika last year, which in addition to static content, we also replicate computations so that we can scale dynamic content delivery. So for example, if I'm walking around with my imaginary iPhone and I want to see a picture of Britney Spears, then the replica is going to downsize that image for my phone so that I can save bandwidth charges, and then I get the image and I'm happy. Well, maybe I trust you in this room to deliver content to me, or maybe you trust me. We are the family. But if we scale such deployments beyond the trusted domain, then I don't really trust any random replica to deliver content to me. That's because if that replica is misbehaving, then instead of delivering pretty Britney to my phone, maybe it delivers crazy Britney, and I'm going to get upset. Well, if we were just replicating data, we could just sign and verify the content. But since we also replicate computations, we need something more. Signing is not enough. So this talk is about our solution, Repeat and Compare. And the basic idea is that we hold replicas accountable to the responses they deliver through attestations. And attestations bind the responses to both the inputs and the code that the replica used to generate the response. Then clients forward a fraction of those attestations to randomly chosen verifiers, and verifiers are really other replicas in the CDN. So the verifiers simply repeat the execution, they compare the result with what they get from the attestation, and if they detect misbehavior, they publish the results. So to be clear here, our solution does not prevent misbehavior. It detects misbehavior. And detection has clear advantages. It works even though a large number of replicas might misbehave in the system. 90% in our experiments, and in theory, as long as you have one correct replica, that's sufficient to detect the rest. It also fits well into existing CDN architectures that I explained earlier, where the replicas get the content from the origin servers and they generate responses for the clients. Well, now the replicas simply do more of the same work that they did. They generate responses now, this time to verify. However, detection is not perfect because some damage is going to be done in the system, but it's good enough because since we can catch the bad guys, we can bound the damage over time, and then because we can catch the bad guys, this reduces the incentives for them to misbehave. The idea for ensuring integrity through accountability and detection has been explored by other systems like peer review, SIA, and CATS. Our contribution is that we make this practical for CDNs. So the rest of the talk, I'm going to explore the design space and explain how we reach our solution, then describe the technical details of Repeat and Compare, evaluate our system, and then discuss future work and conclusions. So the first question that we need to answer is who detects, who verifies the response? Well, the simplest approach would be to have the clients do that. However, this might be expensive for the client. Think of resource-limited devices and think of responses that in order to generate them, you might need to download a lot of data from one or more origin servers. Well, an alternative would be for the client to collect responses from many replicas and then accept the response that the majority of the replicas agree upon. Well, this majority voting, however, is going to at least triple the load on the CDN. And then majority voting really is not a good idea if the majority of the replicas are misbehaving. So the lesson here is that we don't want to verify on the client. So if we don't verify on the client, what we can do is have replicas act as spies, and then they imitate clients to monitor other replicas in the system. That would be a good solution because we wouldn't need to modify the application or the clients or the servers. The problem, however, is that spies are not going to be a feasible solution in the long term, And that's because a misbehaving replica may pretend to be good for a while until it figures out where the spies are and then start misbehaving. So in more detail, the replica could do that by recording addresses of the clients that it gets requests from in a list of suspects, and then until a specific timeout, it's going to record those addresses. Now, the spy is going to be in that list with high probability because in order to ensure integrity, it will have to monitor that replica pretty frequently. So after the timeout, if new clients show up, then that replica can send corrupt responses to them, and then with high probability, it's going to stay undetected. So in other words, the spy cannot really tell if it's being suspected by the replica or the system it's actually clean. So the lesson here is, although we don't verify the client, we need to go through the client to detect misbehavior. So that leads to a solution using clients as informers. In other words, some clients volunteer to forward responses to the verifiers, and that would be a good solution because we wouldn't need to change the servers and the clients, just those who volunteer to forward responses. Well, the problem here is that we run into a he said, she said problem. If the verifier gets a corrupt response, it cannot really tell if the replica corrupted the content, or maybe the client modified the content before it sent to the verifier. Well, maybe we can use again a voting scheme to try to alleviate this problem and get a majority. Well, a powerful adversary with access to a large number of clients could actually game the system, so that would not be a good solution. So the lesson here is that we need attestation. We need for the replica to actually sign the response so that the clients cannot tamper with them. So that leads to the next approach, which, like I said, the replica is going to sign the response and create an attestation that's going to include the inputs and the code. And then the client is going to forward this attestation to a small group of verifiers that are trusted both by clients and servers. Well, if that group is small, this solution is not going to scale because the verifiers will have to get a load of attestations that is the same as the total load in the CDN. So the lesson here is that in order to scale, let's use a sample of the attestations, don't forward everything, and then try to leverage all the replicas to verify. So that pretty much comes to our solution, repeat and compare, where we have a hierarchy of verifiers. At the top, we have a trusted core that is going to make the final decisions. And then at the bottom, we have both trusted and untrusted replicas that are going to verify the bulk of the attestations. So the client is going to forward with some probability the attestation to a randomly chosen replica. And then that replica that is acting as a verifier, if it's not misbehaving, it's going to repeat the execution and check the result. And if it detects misbehavior, it's going to forward that to the core, which is going to make the final decision. Well, what if that replica, that verifier, is actually misbehaving? Well, since the attestations are signed, the worst it can do is actually drop that attestation and essentially hide the fact that there is a misbehaving replica in the system. In our system, we use a 10% probability for the client to forward the response, because that lets us detect pretty fast, but then again, we add 1/10 of the load to the CDN for verification. Well, before you all get excited about having a centralized component in a peer-to-peer system, let me say we also have a decentralized version of repeat and compare. It works pretty much as before. The client is going to forward some probability the attestation to a randomly chosen replica, but now, instead of having the trusted core, every replica is going to have its own list of replicas that they think is misbehaving. So a client can use offline trust relationships and pick up this list from a replica that it trusts, and then it will figure out which nodes not to contact. Well, the cost of removing this trusted core now, of course, is that every replica is going to have to repeat execution by itself. So now that I've explained how the basic architecture looks like, let me go into more detail of how we generate and verify attestations. Well, the problem that we need to, the challenge that we need to resolve here is that we need to ensure that computation is repeatable at the verifier, which means that we need to make all the inputs explicit and remove any non-determinism from the computation. So when the client sends a request, then it's going to include the width and the height of the image that it wants from the replica. And the replica is going to add that to the attestation chain. When it also gets the content from the origin server, the server is going to hash that content and sign it and send it to the replica so that we save space on the chain, and the replica is going to add that as well. Of course, it's going to add the code that it used to downsize the image, and then in more depth, it's going to add the configuration and the runtime information that it used to generate the response. Now, I mentioned earlier that we need to remove non-determinism, and in web services, this shows up if the replica is actually using a random number generator to generate data in the response. So then we ask that the replica also includes the seed of the random number generator and the sequence number in the attestation. This, after that, it simply encodes that information as part of the response in a header and sends that to the client. So in terms of verification, the first step is for the client to make sure that the content it got from the replica is actually consistent with the attestation. Otherwise, it's going to drop the response. So for that, we actually use a local proxy so we don't have to modify the browser. Then after that, it's going to forward the attestation to the verifier, which simply repeats the process. It's going to get the content, it's going to set the configuration and the runtime, get the code, run the code and get the response, and then hash it and see if it matches the attestation. Well, if origin servers never updated their content, that would be sufficient, but they do. So we have to also ensure freshness. And for that, we assume that all clocks in our system are loosely synchronized with some skew, and then for that, we rely on a trusted clock service like NTP. The first problem that we have to deal with is, what if the origin server lies and sends pretty Britney to the replica and crazy Britney to the verifier? So that would be detrimental because the verifier would think that the replica is actually misbehaving. Well, the solution is simple. We just force the server to sign and put that as part of the attestation the time that the content expires. So that ensures there's going to be only one version that has not expired. Well, after that, the replica can generate a response, also put a timestamp there of when the response expires, and then the client can send it to the verifier. Well, that's not exactly sufficient. What if we run again into a he said, she said problem? What if the verifier gets expired content? Did the replica send content that was expired, or maybe the client waited enough time for this to expire and then sent the attestation? Again, to resolve this issue, we make everything explicit. We ask that the client sends the time of the request to the replica, and then the replica simply checks that this request is current, and after that, the client also checks that the attestation includes the time. So after that, simply the verifier needs to check that both the response and the inputs of the response are fresh. So now that I have shown how repeat and compare works, let's see how it performs. So the first question is, how fast is detection? Well, at the time, we didn't have access to a large botnet, so we decided to do simulations, and we did with different numbers of misbehaving replicas. So the results show that it takes only a few minutes to clean the CDN. And the second question that we want to answer is, until we detect them, what is the damage that is done on the system in terms of the corrupt responses that the clients are seeing? So if the number of misbehaving replicas is large, then it's proportional to the square of that number. Otherwise, it's proportional to the expected number of corrupt responses clients will see until they forward the attestation to the verifier. The paper has more details about this analysis, and I'm not going to discuss them in the talk. Finally, we want to know what is the overhead of the attestation and the verification in the system. And for that, we run both server and verifier micro benchmarks using our implementation. So how fast is detection? The simulations we run for both the centralized and the decentralized case. And to remind you, in the centralized case, we have a trusted core that makes decisions for everyone. In the decentralized case, every replica keeps a local list. So in both cases, it takes a few minutes. The plots show the percentage of corrupt responses that the client see over time. And in both cases, it takes a few minutes to remove the replicas. In the decentralized case, it takes more again because each replica has to do it by itself. So in the previous simulations, every client was getting redirected to a totally random node. And this is ideal for detection. However, in reality, clients get redirected to nearby replicas in a CDN. That's because we want to save latency and bandwidth. So this is going to harm detection. Let's see by how much. Well, if we have perfect locality and the client gets redirected always to the closest node, then no misbehaving replica will ever be detected. And that's because the same replica that generates the response, it's also going to verify the response. Well, so we don't want perfect locality. What we could do instead is have redirect the client maybe to a node that is within its immediate neighborhood of, say, 2 milliseconds. Well, as the plot shows, this is enough randomness for us to be able to detect misbehaving replicas again in a few minutes. So in other words, a little bit of randomness goes a long way for detection. So in terms of the overhead in the origin server, when it also has to sign the responses, then we serve a 2 kilobyte static page using our Apache implementation. And the results here are not surprising. If you keep signing every response, then public key cryptography hurts performance. But then, since the content is static, if we can cache these signatures, then we pretty much remove the overhead. Now, in terms of the overhead that the replica sees, because it has to generate its own attestations and also verify attestations from other replicas, we transform an image to fit a cell phone screen using our Nakika implementation. And just running the transformation code in a tight loop, just to get the base case, it takes about 13 transformations per second. When we do the transformation as part of the response generation process in Nakika, we drop to 7. And that's because the Nakika pipeline is also a large CPU consumer. We drop to 6 when we generate the attestations. That's, again, because of public key cryptography. And then when we load the same replica with an equal amount of attestations that it has to verify along with the responses that it has to generate, then we drop to about 1/2. And that's because the verification takes the same amount of resources as transforming the image, repeat and compare. But this is really a worst-case scenario, because in reality, in our system, we have a 10% probability of forwarding the responses. So the load should be 1/10 of that, the extra load. So before I conclude, I'm going to discuss a few limitations of our system and what we're currently working on. First of all, we cannot handle applications that depend on purely random information, and that's because pure randomness is not repeatable. We also treat all the content in the system equally, but in reality, some of the content might be more sensitive than other, so we would change the priority for that sensitive content and maybe forward with higher probability. Finally, we also don't support databases yet, and we're working on a solution where we will serialize the client writes through the origin server and then scale the reading using the replicas. The challenge here is that we have to detect if replicas are serving stale state, given that we don't trust both the servers and the replicas. So to conclude, repeat and compare uses accountability to resolve all the he said, she said problems that we have because of mutually untrusted parties. To repeat the computation, we want to ensure that the inputs are made explicit and we remove the non-determinism from the computation. And I've shown that it works pretty well because it fits into existing CDN architectures. We support both a centralized and a decentralized version. And then it's effective and quick at cleaning the CDN, even if there's a lot of bad guys in the system. Thank you, and I'll be glad to get any questions.
Ryan Peterson from Cornell.
Hi.
This is cool, but I'm wondering, you said that you're relying on clients to volunteer to forward these attestations to the verifiers?
That was part of the design space, and I explained that these informers, right, that volunteer, are not going to be enough to solve the problem because you will need to sign the response.
I'm just worried because it seems like, so you have the origin servers and you have the verifiers and you have clients, and I'm just confused about which, how many of each of these need to make changes because it seems like...
For the final solution, here's the deal. For the final solution, you have to modify the client. And that's because the way HTTP works, if you were not adding this extra attestation header, right, the client would simply accept the response anyway, right? So we don't want that. We actually want that the client is going to check if that header is there and it's consistent with the content. Otherwise, the replicas wouldn't have an incentive to sign because the already existing clients would accept the response as it is, even without the header.